Welcome to Naked Word Radio, and part the first in a collection of thoughts, realities, and observations of life as a human. In particular, this human speaking to you now, Peter Paul. This series of broadcasts will relate the curious chronicle of the lost heart, how said heart lay undiscovered in a dark and lonely recess of the spirit, the spark that woke it up, and the inspiration that followed to make an odyssey from head to heart. The Curious Chronicle of the Lost Heart. Part 1. Sleepwalking. Time-wise, it's early 2013. I've slid and slithered into a state of comfort, cold comfort. The house I live in is neat, tidy, clean, undemanding. But creeping up on me is the sensation that I don't have a life there. Well, not my life. My very own shape and shadow in the fabric of time. It dawns on me that I'm in the waiting room, those old-fashioned spaces that were to be found in railway stations. It's like I've lent my life to some shallow entity with only a surface awareness of reality. A convenient window through which there are no challenges, no questions, other than what to have for supper, or shall I wear blue suede or tan leather boots with my kick trousers? The days passed each other by, hardly pausing for thought, and I often found myself staring emptily at space, my focus drifting away. In this strange half-sight, my mind had no control, no ability to influence the course of events. I felt a sudden lucidity and a sense of liberation. Some hidden part of me soared in its new-found freedom and saw life from above the clouds. Back down to earth, and I realized that for myself, I had rediscovered my ability to meditate. Long chats with a very good friend had reminded me of the insights to be found, and relevant books, many of which had lain gathering the dust of despair on my bookshelves, reinforced their crucial nature. Meditation can require a special place, and I knew that I did not have one. At the west end of the house sat an empty room. Not of things, but of character. Cold, but not damp. Occupying the depth of the house, from front to back, with wide sliding glass doors leading to the garden. I moved a few pieces of furniture around to find a clear sight to the colourful world outside, and sat upon a chair. As I mentally moved inside myself, I felt the room around me. It had sat here, waiting to be something, waiting to be an active part of the house, and I suddenly knew a slender sense of self. I realized that the room and I had something in common. No sense of belonging to anything. This room had somehow been denied an identity, named, not by me as the dining room, but far too cold and remote for such an existence, stranded as it was, across the corridor that divided the old house from the new. Somehow, even though it was physically joined, it wasn't psychically connected and was suffering from a lack of soul. Like attracts like, and so it was inevitable that my lost soul would find its way to another. In a day or so, I had engineered a not-so-subtle commandeering of this room. I set up my computer, piano, a TV, rearranged my musical instruments from an untidy stack to a usable rack. I used the room, found its own emptiness, and matched it with mine. In this dark, silent space danced a single flame, a tiny beacon of hope pressed in on all sides by brooding clouds of black thought. This point of light drew me like a moth and fired my inspiration. I slowly filled the room with music, poetry, and art. However, it was still impossible to feel truly at home in this room. I still felt a little like a pirate stealing passage in someone else's vessel. In early 2015, it was the bolt out of the blue that gave me a rude awakening. A streak of lightning originating in the farthest reaches of our solar system, Pluto and Uranus, conspiring in a conjunction of profound change allied with complete surprise. Here on the ground, in fact over supper, I heard but barely registered the fateful sentence. I think we should go our separate ways. Suddenly, the certainty of my life became withered and wasted, but I couldn't tell if I felt liberated or devastated. Almost a score of years suddenly melting away like ice in the sun. Am I the lost frost or the warming water? I think we should go our separate ways. This phrase bounced around my being and, of course, forced me to re-examine my very existence. This naked truth left me bereft. The fabric and foundation of my life with my partner and her family was brutally revealed to me. Suddenly, being able to view these relationships from outside made me realize that I had been tolerated but never welcomed. My head had hidden a truth that my heart had felt. How did I get to this place in space, this point in time? Imagine a gentle hillside against a cobalt sky. No clouds, no breeze, only buzzards riding the thermals, almost beyond the reach of eyesight. The sun, noonday bright, halos my eyes and bathes my skin. Close-cropped emerald green turf caps the rounded top. To one side and just below the summit lies a shallow depression marked by a lichen-covered stone and lined with yellow ochre, gunmetal grey and moss-green gravel. At the centre of this is a gentle uprising of clear water, refracting the sunlight and making the stones beneath seem to dance. A pool gathers, slowly filling the shallow basin until it finds the lowest edge and the water flows over, disappearing into the stones and finding its way back to the surface where the turf edge cuts across the gravel. Thirsty black soil, dark with ancient humus, absorbs the trickle but begins to lose its structure as it softens. The water flow begins its long journey, sculpting the landscape, highlighting the natural contours, but sometimes slicing, sometimes tumbling in freefall on its way to the great estuaries on the horizon. I sit beside the source, no need to shade these inner eyes as I gaze at the far distance. I catch a glimpse of sun on the wide, ambling river it becomes, sleepwalking into the jaws of the ocean. My thoughts flow out, wandering to the farthest corners of my imagination, dancing to some external rhythm that I recognize but cannot name. Suddenly, my mind is empty, hollow like a drum, and from beyond the silence I clearly hear a beat. My heartbeat. A mercurial ocean of all my thoughts contracts, pools together in a fluid block. I see it reflecting ideas, light beams, from outside, but those within are locked there. I see feelings, heartfelt notions about the life I live, trapped like birds in a cage. This cold liquid metal begins to take on the pulse of my heart, quicksilver trembling across its surface. From my deep within view, I see my heart locked in my head. I've hidden myself so well that I didn't, until this moment, know that I was lost. Later, days later, in fact, I'm nursing a mug of tea, sat looking out across the garden, still with much to reflect upon. I keep seeing my cold metal mental heart. It has become a life force in its own right, separated from me. I can see its insularity. I can feel its fear. It has retreated, made itself into an island fastness, determined to survive alone at any cost. And here lies the rub, the cost, for only now am I beginning to realize the depth of my problem. As I rediscover the value of the contribution to life decisions that my heart can make, I find that I have locked it away, or at the very least allowed it to lock itself away. It's as though there's a part of me with a will of its own, an innate desire to be in control, regardless of any consideration, steering me inexorably and inevitably towards a world with no heart, no intuition, no inner reference, no respect or indeed any interest in how I feel. In fact, I find I'm having trouble having feelings at all. I have sleepwalked into the jaws of the ocean, just like the wide, ambling river. My feet drag in the estuaries of mud. The nutritious grindings gathered in the river's ramblings, but they are not food for me, only a barrier to any progress. I stand up from my view of the garden. My forgotten mug perched on my knee falls and shatters on the floor. I pick up the pieces, no chance of mending this, and feel a little bleak. Hope still sits quietly in my mental and emotional background, but is turning a little hazy. How to find my heart? I must find my heart. I must hear my heart. A mantra for my time. In my mind's eye, I spin the prayer wheels, cast my thoughts to all the dimensions surrounding me. Think of their endless overlapping and weaving, and I know that through one of these portals, I will find what I seek. My odyssey has begun. And here ends part one, Sleepwalking of the Curious Chronicle of the Lost Heart.